Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers, and I want to thank you for being with us today. Well, we're continuing in a series we began last time on comparative religions. This is show number 2 in that mini-series, you might say. I'm not really planning to do any more after this, but down the line, you never know, I might add to it. But for now, we're just going to conclude this little mini-series as a highlight form for people, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that want to have just kind of a little taste of what these other religions out there, cults and sects, believe, not in great detail, but just enough to have a good understanding of what they believe, to where they as Christians can witness to them with the biblical truth, having an understanding of where these people are coming from as far as their own particular theological proclivities may lie. So with that said, I want to thank very special guest for joining me today, Bob L. Ross. Bob, it's great to have you here once again, brother. Bob is director of Pilgrim Publications out of Pasadena, Texas. He is one of the world's leading publishers of the works of the Prince of Preachers of the 19th century, the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Okay, with that said, we've been covering the contrast of Christianity, historic Christianity, biblical Christianity, with all these other world religions, cults, sects, and so forth, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ have a better understanding of what they're dealing with when they run into people of different religious persuasions, so they might share the gospel with them in a more effective way, and for our other viewers who may not be Christians, but may be in one of these other religions, so they can understand where we're coming from and have a better understanding of what biblical Christianity is. So it kind of serves two purposes at the same time. Now, we're going to pick up where we left off from last time, and we're going to come to a major point. And Bob was about to go off on this point on the last show, but I kind of stopped before he get into it, but I'm not going to stop him this time. And first I'll give you a review of all these religions in contrast to historic Christianity, and then we're going to have Brother Bob's comments on this at the end, and we'll have a little discussion and move on to our next point of topic here in this comparative religion analysis. Okay, if you'll see on your screen, you can see what we have here is the person of Jesus Christ. And under historic Christianity, basically what this is saying is, who is Jesus Christ? And the answer to that question of who is Jesus Christ, found and given by historic Christianity, is that Jesus Christ is one divine person, eternal, with two natures, human and divine, born on earth as a fully human being, supreme example of God's character and his love for humanity, full and final revelation of God and his love. Just one example, see John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. So basically, the historic Christianity is saying that Jesus is God, and he's fully human at the same time. He's the God-man. He's man and God. He's the second person of the Trinity. There's a Father, the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what historic biblical Christianity says about who Jesus Christ is. Now, in contrast to this, we move on to Judaism. And they say, this is what they say about Jesus Christ. They say he's a humble and insignificant prophet, but certainly neither the Messiah nor God. Orthodox Judaism considers him less favorably than Reformed Judaism. In fact, in their Jewish Talmud, which is considered their holy writings by a lot of their rabbis and so forth, their esteemed rabbis, it basically says in the Jewish Talmud that Jesus was the bastard son of Mary, a whore, and a Roman soldier. And it goes on to say that Jesus was a false prophet, and his followers are burning and boiling excrement and all this type of stuff. You find this in the Jewish Talmud, and we've got material to verify that if people need in-depth documentation on that. But anyway, that's their concept, basically, through the Talmud of who they say Jesus is, a false prophet and, you know, so forth. Anyway, in Islam, they consider Jesus a major prophet. He's the spirit of Allah, or God, without sin, but he is certainly not divine. His miracles are signs that he came from God, but he is in no means is he God. And, of course, in Islam, they say he's not the Son of God. So that's what the Muslims think of Jesus. Definitely a contrast with the biblical record. Hinduism, for some Hindus, Jesus was an avatar or incarnation of God, one among many avatars, a great spiritual leader, a guru. Other Hindus don't consider him much of anything. Anyway, in Buddhism, he's a teacher who may possess Buddhahood or enlightenment, one among many, but he's definitely not unique. Sikhism says he's not a divine person, they deny he's God, but a man through whom God worked and revealed himself. The Baha'i world faith says he's the Son of God, but not divine, he's not God. One of God's manifestations, who also include Krishna, Buddha, Abraham, Moses, Muhammad, and Baha'u'llah, who we mentioned in the previous show. So Jesus is just one among many. Okay, Native American religions, originally no reference to person or work of Jesus Christ. In secular humanism, view Jesus as just another human teacher. They deny that Jesus is divine. New Age movement says Jesus was one of many appearances of God throughout the ages, one of many people who were fully aware of their own divinity. Of course, they believe that everybody is divine. They take a pantheistic view and say, well, you're divine, I'm divine, we're all divine. And even that tin can on the ground is divine. But anyway, that's New Age movement ideas of deity. Okay, Roman Catholicism says that Jesus is one divine person, eternal, fully human and divine, supreme example of God's character and his love for humanity, full and final revelation of God and his love. John 1, verses 1 through 13. Seventh-day Adventist Church says that he's the... they basically agree with historic Christianity on this point. Jehovah's Witnesses, a created being with stages of existence. First, he was the Archangel Michael, or the Word. Second, he became Jesus, perfect man, became Messiah at his baptism. Three, after his spiritual resurrection, became Michael, the Archangel again, but retains the name of Jesus. So basically, Jesus was an angel. God made him into this man, Jesus, who died and then was resurrected as an angel again, but he also has the name Jesus now. Okay, the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, say that Jesus is the spiritual and physical offspring of God by procreation, had a preexistence as God's spirit child, and is a brother of Lucifer. And so they believe that Jesus is just a spiritual child of procreation between these other gods who, a man and a woman in a previous existence who he was created through them, and then one of his brothers was the devil, Lucifer. Join us again next time when we bring up another subject that hopefully will be edifying to you. But remember, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You didn't have to read the Book of Mormon. You don't have to get a Quran and read that. You don't have to get L. Ron Hubbard's science fiction books through Scientology or any of that stuff. You don't need a Korean man to tell you who to get married to. You just need Jesus Christ. Believe on him and you will not be condemned. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless you all.